Good morning, friends, and welcome to historic Main Street United Methodist Church, where getting our worship started is perhaps the biggest task of the day. What a privilege we have, a free church in a free land, about to make very big decisions. So I invite you to humble yourself by bowing your head before the Lord our God, thanking Him for our freedoms, and asking Him to give you the gift of worship today. Brothers and sisters, let us stand before the Lord. And as the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Paul in Ephesians wrote, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And His gift were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And why did God give all these people to His church? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our hymn on this, our Day Spring Sunday, with Reverend Wesley Putnam, is number 156, "I Love to Tell the Story."
Thank you.
So as not to confuse you, the second line of our prayer reads correctly, "Look down upon this church." Since this is a prayer of confession and pardon, I know that I all have your forgiveness ahead of time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, look down upon this church with mercy and love. There is so much of this great faith that we have forgotten, and so much we have chosen to ignore. We have grieved your Holy Spirit by rejecting many of his gifts and graces. We have not honored the apostles who pioneered new work among the lost. We have shut our ears to the piercing voice of the prophets. We have been embarrassed by the zeal of the evangelists. We have grown impatient with scholars and teachers of the true faith, and we have asked pastors to be more than you call them to be. So today we begin a long repentance by welcoming your evangelist, Wesley Putnam, as a gift from above. Forgive us for seeking only what makes us comfortable and safe. Have your way with us today. Stir us deeply. And may the light and love and creativity and joy of Jesus be with us. Refresh us with living water, O Lord, for we have grown dry and parched, and our fruit has withered. Amen. As the Holy Spirit shines light within, I invite you to make a confession of your sins to Almighty God in silence. Brothers and sisters, receive the medicine of the gospel, which heals your souls. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Came to church today. If you are not a member but a visitor today, we want to tell you that we're so glad to have you. In just a minute, our members are going to set a good example by passing the registration books down to everyone signing in. If you're a visitor, please give us your address. We will not come see you this afternoon. We just want to send you a letter about Tuesday or Wednesday that said, "We saw you were here, and we're glad to have you." If you give us a phone number, we'll even call you. We want you to come back. There are at least 100 good churches in Greenwood you could join, and we are one of them. So if you're on the center aisle, if you'll set a good example by signing in and passing them down, don't tear them out. Pass them all the way back to the center. We will pick them up after the service. Now, a clear act of pastoral repentance, not for some grave sin, but for an error. You have registration cards in your bulletins. We need everyone to fill one out to tell us whether you are coming so we can order you a meal, or whether you are not coming so that we do not call you tomorrow night. So if you will all fill out those cards and pass them to the center, and our ushers will pick them up. For several weeks now, we've had little prayer cards in your pew racks, and you can turn this in just to me or to our prayer minister. If you came with a prayer need, fill out a prayer card today and put it in the offering plate. As you leave today, on the sides, you'll see some music stands there that have our midweek newsletter and also a copy of our preaching schedule through the end of the year. I remind you that we meet for prayer on Thursday nights in the chapel, and we would love to have you. Now, one last reminder about next week's schedule. The 11 o'clock service has been canceled. The 8:30 service has been canceled. We'll have one unified worship service with about eight different kinds of music at 10:30. We'll have Sunday school at 9:30. We'll have a free catered meal after the service for everyone who comes for Consecration Sunday. One of the most amazing things about being the pastor of Main Street is seeing all the quiet mission that goes on when you're not here. So this week, I just want to review for you what your church has been doing. Last Sunday after worship, we packed over 20,000 pills for a mission trip to Honduras in February. Our vision team met on Wednesday night to work on a long-range plan. On Thursday, out of our food pantry, we fed over 40 hungry families. We had a Kairos team here all weekend that was witnessing for Christ in the women's prison. We had an all-day retreat yesterday for our Alpha ministry on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And today we have a preview with Dr. Wesley Putnam of a five-service revival that we will have here the end of January. So this week your church has been involved in the Great Commissioning, in visioning with God, in feeding the hungry, in visiting the prisoners, in welcoming the Holy Spirit, and on planning to win people to Christ. And if you think that's what you want your church to be doing every week, would you please say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be a member of Main Street United Methodist Church. Reverend Wesley Putnam is from the Texas Conference. He's been a United Methodist national evangelist for over 31 years. He's a noted musician. He's written choir compositions. He's published CDs. He is appointed by his bishop as an evangelist. Wesley and I have become dear, dear friends. When I had him in Hartsville 3 years ago, we began our revival on Sunday morning with a good crowd. The crowd grew Sunday night. It grew Monday night. It grew Tuesday night. And it grew Wednesday night. The word got out in Hartsville. Did you hear that something is happening at the Methodist Church? It had been such a long time since fire hit our church that people started coming from Darlington and Bishopville. We're going to pray and plan for the same thing to happen here at Greenwood. In just over a week, whatever your political affiliation, I hope that you will cast your vote prayerfully and thoughtfully. Because we all agree that whatever your persuasion, our nation is facing some difficult songs. Several years ago, Wesley wrote a song for us called Save Our Land. And I've asked him to come and play that for you now. Wesley?
Lord, we humbly pray, heal our land. In this evil day, we cannot stand. Unless you hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Please heal. Our land. The storm clouds have gathered, the thunder is deafening. Where can we go for refuge when we're afraid? Help us remember the God of our fathers. You were their strength and shelter against the rain. Lord, we humbly pray, heal our land. In this evil day, we cannot stand. Unless you hear our prayer, forgive our sin and heal our land. Please heal our land. We have a new vision now burning within us. A nation whose heart is blazing with love for the Lord. He will renew us and pour out His blessing. We'll never lose hope. Remember, He's done it before. Lord, we humbly pray, heal our land. In this evil day, we cannot stand unless you hear our prayer. Forgive our sin and heal our land. Please heal our land. Lord, heal our land.
Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
If you will reach in your bulletin, you'll see a chart called the Main Street Grow One Step Chart. I've used this for 20 years. The good thing about our stewardship plan is low pressure, it focuses on God, and it moves people towards the tithe. I'm going to ask our Minister of Enthusiasm, Coach Shell Dula, to come forward. Now, you know, after praying with Shell, at the end of a prayer, we don't say amen, we say, ready, break. And I love it. So if you just follow Shell as he quickly leads you through a chart that will help you see where you are and what it would take to step up, and then help you give some stuff to think about this week as you prepare to come next week to make your commitment to God. Shell?
Thank you. I know as Phil said quickly, I'm not sure if we're going to do this quickly. We may be here a while, but no, seriously. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do for Main Street. You know, you sometimes take things for granted. You take for granted that the choir is here. Well, all we got this morning is Joyce. But it's nice to see the choir members sitting out there. First of all, I want to thank David Patterson, and I want to thank Sarah Hartung, and I want to thank Robbie Coley for the part that they played in this stewardship presentations over the last 3 weeks. We certainly appreciate their time and effort very much. But we take things for granted, just like we take for granted the choir is going to be there. There's scripture in the Bible that we have said so often, that we say it so much, that perhaps we say it so fast that we don't even think about what we're saying anymore. We just say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16. Or, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. Or perhaps, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, the 23rd Psalm. You know, we just say it and we say it and we just don't really think about it. This past Wednesday night, we were here at the church and Phil had us sing a song that, you know, we just say it, we sing it in church, we say it, we don't think about it. It sort of hit home. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And you know, sometimes we don't like to hear this, that basically everything we have is a gift from God. Now, yes, we've played a part in that. We've had initiative. We've taken advantage of our opportunities. We've used the talents and the intelligence that God has given us. But ultimately, it was all a gift from God. It all comes from God. Now, as we're preparing and going through our stewardship process, now we have a chance to give back to God. Because when we make a commitment to Main Street United Methodist Church, we're actually making a commitment to God. We're making a commitment. God, you've blessed us. You've been so good to us. Now's our chance to basically give back to you. To give back. We make the check payable to Main Street, but we could make it payable to God. But I'm not sure he's got a bank account here in Greenwood or anywhere. But so we make it payable. That was a joke. I don't think y'all picked that up. And that's okay. I mean, I know y'all a little... This is serious, but we make it payable to Main Street, but we're actually giving it to God. Now, you've got a chart in front of you. The first thing that we want to do is look at the first page, the part that says Main Street UMC Grow One Step chart. And I think all of us can basically look on this chart and we can figure out where we are. We can figure out where we are on that chart. You know, it's amazing. We have 446 family units in our church. 163 are at the bottom. 163 are at the bottom, where it says zero. And then we work our way up. And I'm not going to go over all the numbers with you. We'd also like for you to turn to the back. And here you see a column, weekly income. There again, you can figure out your weekly income. Mary and I do it based on the month. And so you multiply it by 4 and you can see your income per month. And then if you go across... and you know what you're giving, you can see what percentage each of us are actually giving to God right now. By looking at the front, you know where you are. By looking at the back, you know where you are. And nobody else knows. That's totally between you and God. What we're asking you to do, yes, we wish that everybody in our church was at 10%, that every family in our church could tithe, that every family in our church felt like they could, but we're not there. We're not there. Hopefully we will get there one day, but we're not there. What we're asking each family to do is to figure out where you are and try to step up one or two steps. Try to take it a little bit further. If right now, for example, we've got 44 family units that give between $10 and $19.99 a week. We would love to think that those might could step up to the next step or to the next. That's what we're looking at. You know, the Christian faith is like anything else. We never stay the same. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards, but we never stay the same. So hopefully as you pray about this, as you and your family meet and you sit down and you look at your situation, hopefully in your relationship with God and that prayer time that you have with Him, you can see fit to move up a step or to move up two steps. We would appreciate that very much. Your church would appreciate it. God would appreciate it. Certainly 10% would be great, but we're being realistic. We're not ready to do that yet in some cases, and that's fine. But all of us have been blessed. God's been good to all of us. There's a song that the Kingston Trio did years and years ago. Something like, you've got to walk the lonesome valley. You've got to walk it by yourself. No, nobody else can walk it for you. Your decision of what you give to God or what we give back to God is a decision that nobody makes but your family. Nobody else makes it. That's between you and God. This is a step chart. It's good for you to have. The back gives you information. But ultimately, we look at what God's done for us and we decide what we want to give back to God. We ask that you prayerfully consider this as we move forward and have our Consecration Sunday next week. Thank you.
I now feel like I want to go out and win the second half of the game. I love it. I love it. One of our traditions is to have some special time with children. So we have Lisa Smith is our children's message person. So if all the children will just flood down front in a big hurry and come down and join Kathy and Lisa for our time here together at the altar. Come on down. I see you out there hiding.
Good morning. Everybody's eyeing the Tootsie Pops that I brought. You know what? I had no clue we would have this many children today. I saw a lot more out there. They're out there somewhere. I have Tootsie Pops. Okay. All right. Well, they get to split them up then. That's how it works, guys. You know, most people love surprises. Do you like surprises? Do you? I like, oh, here comes another one. This one I teach. I knew he would come. I like surprises too. Who doesn't love a surprise birthday party where you're raising your hand because you don't like a surprise? Oh, you do like a surprise party. Who doesn't love a surprise birthday party when everybody comes out of hiding and yells, what do they yell? Surprise! And here's another example of a really wonderful surprise. How many of you have ever watched the news? I know, but some of you do watch the news. And you've seen those wonderful video broadcasts of a child's school when the military mom or dad who's been serving in Afghanistan or Iraq, and they show up unexpected at the child's school. That is a wonderful surprise for all of the children, but especially the children of those military men and women. You've seen that before. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to get to that in a minute. And who doesn't like to bite down on a delicious Tootsie Pop and get that unexpected surprise of the chocolate chewy Tootsie Roll inside? That's kind of an unexpected little surprise, isn't it? It's a nice treat. You know, Halloween is this week, and many of you are going to go door to door to different people's houses with your bag, and you're going to be getting all kinds of yummy surprise treats. And it's kind of fun because you never know what the house is going to serve. Could it be M&M's? Could it be Skittles? Could it be Starburst? Or my personal favorite, Milk Duds. Ah, well, you know, when Halloween is here, then Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And right after that, it won't be long, and we'll be getting ready for Christmas. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. The Bible tells us in Luke of a big surprise that happened to the shepherds out in the fields. An angel of the Lord suddenly surprised them to tell them about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Well, boys and girls, this kind of surprise was a million, zillion, gazillion times better than getting your favorite Halloween candy or even an iPad on Christmas morning. Jesus' birth was the best surprise that we could ever possibly imagine. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, had just been born. So when you go out trick-or-treating, if you get to go out trick-or-treating this week and you get a lot of surprises in your bag, I want you to think about the wonderful surprise that the shepherds got and the world got that night when the baby Jesus was born to save us all. Can we say a prayer, please? Dear God, thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Help us to not keep his word a surprise. Help us to not keep his word a surprise, but to share the good news with everyone. But to share the good news with everyone. Amen. And as a reminder, I've got a little treat for y'all later when you go home. So we'll divvy it up out here.
Lisa likes Milk Dud and I like Snickers. I have a block here of United Methodist teaching to you that I'm going to trust that you read on your own. It's about how is it that people come to faith in God. Our ushers are now ready and will come to receive your tithes and offerings.
Join your voices in song.
Let us pray. Lord, we have heard stories of the renewal of your church from grandparents and great-grandparents in times in church history when you seemed to fall upon your people in holy power to cleanse and convert and restore. Lord, our churches in America are low tide. There is much entertainment, but not much holiness. There's a lot of hype, but not much attention to Scripture. So, Lord, watch over us. And if, Lord, if you're looking for a church to renew, would you please begin with us? In the name of Jesus, who calls us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you'll please remain standing. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watches over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Sheepy. Has anybody seen my sheep? I was afraid of that. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce myself to you. My name is Nathaniel, and I was one of the shepherds that night. You know what night I'm talking about. Oh, what an incredible experience. Ah, but before I tell you my story, I need to clear up a few things. Number one, when people talk about that night, they say things like, "Isn't it wonderful that God decided to reveal himself first to shepherds?" I gotta tell you something. When I was a shepherd, it was no big deal to be a shepherd. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. Shepherd was the bottom of the social rung. Nobody ever hung around shepherd. Nobody ever invited shepherd to party. Shepherd was tough. You ask a little boy in Bethlehem, "Hi, little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up?" Nobody ever said shepherd. I always wished I could say computer programmer. But no, I was a shepherd. Another thing they say, "My, weren't those shepherds diligent? There they were out in the middle of the field in the middle of the night." We lived out there. We couldn't even get away from the sheep to sleep. Ah, but I will never forget that night. It had been a long day. One of the sheep had wandered away, and we had searched, finally got him with the rest of the flock, put them all in the little sheepfold, and they were over to the side, settling in for the night. And my friends and I were out sitting in front of our tent, and we were playing Scrabble and making s'mores. And the conversation came around to a topic that had been talked about many, many times around hundreds of campfires for hundreds of years. Could this be the night that Messiah comes? Could this be the time when God will come and deliver his people from the heavy foot of Roman oppression and we will once again become a great nation? Could this be the time? And while we're talking, I look across the fire at my friend Moshe. And he's doing this. I go, "Moshe, what's with the handshake?" He said, "Nathaniel,
You still believe that stupid stuff?
I said stupid stuff? What are you talking about, stupid stuff?
He said, here we've been waiting hundreds of years. No Messiah. You still think he's coming?
I said, Moshe, don't you realize that all of the time that we have been God's people and all of the many years he has been our God, not one time has he ever failed to keep his promises. Not once. Do you think he is going to begin failing us now?
Those words were no more than out of my mouth when all of a sudden there's a bright light behind me, brighter than 100 campfires, so bright that it threw my shadow across the fire. I look over at Moshe and David. Their eyes are as big as coffee saucers. They're pointing behind me going, ah, ah. I was afraid to look. But I turn, and there's this huge 10-foot angel with a sword over his head, and he's wearing a battery pack. The light from his robe is so bright. And he says,
don't be afraid.
Right. That's easy for you to say.
I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to you and all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe lying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes.
And then all of a sudden, with that one angel, there are thousands and thousands of angels that fill the sky. And they all sang a chorus out of Handel. It was beautiful. And when they finished singing, it's like you push the little button on the remote control. The sky goes, and they're gone. And all you can see is the stars in the sky. And all you can hear is the sound of the wind in the grass and the sheep in the field. I look over at Moshe. I say, hey, Moshe, did you see what I saw? Moshe said, I don't know, man, what'd you see? I said, you first. He said, you mean the angels? I said, yes, yes, the angels. What should we do? David said, I know what we should do. We should go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the angels have told us about. Now, when you read it in the Bible, one minute we're in the field, next minute we're with the baby. We looked all night for that kid. But you got to understand, the angel threw us off a little, huh? He said we were going to find the babe in a manger. Hey, I'm a shepherd. I know what a manger's for. It's where animals eat, not where babies sleep. So I figured it was an editorial mistake. I said, okay, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, where are you going to go? Methodist Hospital. We went and checked. No luck. From there, we tried the Hilton. Nice place. Went to the front desk. I said, excuse me, have you seen a very pregnant woman? And do you happen to have rollaway mangers? No luck. From there, we tried Best Eastern. Still, no luck. We tried everywhere. Finally, there's only one place left. It's a little bed and breakfast on the edge of town. Neon light flashing in the window. No vacancy. We go. We finally knock on the door. The proprietor opens the door. He says,
Ivy, what are you doing? Waking me up in the middle of the night here. Can't you read? We got no vacancy. Now go away. I said, please, sir, forgive us for waking you. We are so sorry, but we've been looking all night long here. We were wondering, have you seen a very pregnant woman, and do you happen to have rollaway mangers? The guy said, I told you we have no vacancy. Now go away. What's that you say? Pregnant woman. Funny you should mention. This night at this very door was a very pregnant woman, and she asked me for a room. And I said, lady, can't you read? We got no vacancy. Of course there's no place to stay. But I do have back behind a lovely little stable where we could put you, and we could get some nice fresh hay and get you in out of the weather, and it's only $19.95 plus tax. And if you go back there, I believe you will find they are still there. So we walked around to the stable, and we opened the door, and you could tell it was a stable. And then we waited for our eyes to adjust to the dimness of the light in the room, and you could see the animals as they milled around getting their evening meal. And then I saw it. It was back in the left-hand corner of the stable. A small lantern was burning. And we made our way towards the light. David said, watch your step. I said, too late. Finally, we are there. And there they were. The girl could not have been more than 15 or 16 years old. And with her was her husband. And in front of them, in a manger, was a baby that could not have been more than a few hours old. When the woman saw us, it frightened her. She picked the child up and began to back towards the corner of the stable. I said, lady, please, don't be afraid. All of a sudden, I'm talking like an angel. I said, don't be afraid. We heard the song of the angels. We know who it is that you hold in your arms. We know. And a tear traced its way down her cheek and dropped into the hay at her feet. And we fell down on our knees. We began to worship him. Thank you, God. You have heard the cry of your people, and you have answered in a way no one would have ever imagined. Thank you. Think of it. I was a shepherd. I was a nobody. And here I was, kneeling before the King of Kings. Now, lest you think I am bragging, let me tell you that I believe others in Bethlehem could have seen the same things we saw. And others in Bethlehem could have heard the same things we heard. Do you know why I believe God picked us? It was really quite simple. You see, we were the ones who were sitting still enough to listen. You know what I believe? I believe it is very easy for us to get too busy. We go through life at such a rapid pace that we can no longer hear the voice of God. You know what I believe? I believe angels still sing. And I know God still speaks. But you have to listen. You have to slow down and listen. For God will not shout at you. It is often a quiet whisper.
And if you are not careful, you will miss the whole thing. As we got up from our knees, morning was beginning to break in Bethlehem. You could hear the sounds of morning as shopkeepers were opening the doors of their shops, as vendors were dragging their carts across the cobblestone streets. Friends were calling to one another, "Good morning, good morning." And there were the sounds and the smells of morning in Bethlehem. Fresh baked bread and Bethlehem Starbucks. Ah, morning in Bethlehem. And as we stepped into the streets and we looked at the people, you know what I thought? I thought, wait a minute here. Everybody is acting like this is just any other day. And this is definitely not just any other day. First, we suddenly find ourselves running through the streets, tapping people on the shoulders, spinning them around, saying, "Hey, guess what? Guess what? Messiah has come! Messiah has come! The one we have longed for, waited for, prayed for. I tell you, he's here! He's here! He's just over there! We were just with him a little while ago. He's in that stable right over. He's the cutest little baby. Come on, come on! We'll show you." And they look at us and they go, "Oy vey, what are you, out of your mind or what? I didn't care! I didn't care! Are you kidding me? After what I saw, after what I heard, there is no way I could keep my mouth shut. Why, if I had tried to keep my mouth shut, I would have bopped." Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And you know the rest of the story. You know how he lived. You know how he loved. You know how he died. You know how he broke the bonds of death, walked out of that tomb, and lives forever. You know the whole thing. You know it all. Tell me, how could you know all of that and be silent? When there are so many who don't even know his name, how could you be silent? Wouldn't it be great if Main Street became known as that church where the people can't keep their mouths shut about Jesus? Jesus this, Jesus that. Oh, how I love Jesus. Ah, some will think you are out of your mind. But others will believe, and they will join you on this incredible journey of faith in him. Ah, that would be good. Now I know it is just a few weeks before Christmas will be here, but this message is a message that will be with us all through the year. Every day should be Christmas for us. And it can be. As a matter of fact, this Christmas season can be the grandest of your life if you will do three things. Slow down. Slow down. Take the time to open your ears and your eyes again to the things of God. Search for him and for his kingdom. Turn your hearts. Listen for the song of the angels. Slow down. Worship him. Not just one day a week or 1 hour a week, but let every day of your life be filled with praises of his holy name. Sing his songs. Give him praise. Tell him how much you love him. Don't let a day go by that you do not give him the worship of your heart. Let your heart sing again to him. Tell your story. Tell someone. Tell him. Tell them what he has done for you. Tell them how he has been faithful. Tell them how much he loves them. Don't miss an opportunity to give someone else the good news. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell someone. Let that story flow out of you into the hearts of others so that they can know him. I tell you, it will be the greatest gift that you have ever given to anyone. It will be the greatest gift that anyone could have ever received. A relationship with the King who loves them. That would make for an incredible Christmas, would it not? I was just a nobody. Just a shepherd. But one day, I met the King. And I will never be the same again. And God's people said, Amen.
Let us stand and confess our ancient and holy Christian prayer. I believe in God the Father,
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Wes, do you have another song for us? In place of our final song, I'm going to ask that you be seated for Wes, and we'll have a benediction, and we'll be ended.
Just a tiny baby, such an awesome sight, lying in a manger on this holy night. Who could have imagined? Could you have ever dreamed that this helpless child was the mighty King of Kings? Hallelujah, let us now rejoice, praising Jesus, lifting up one voice. There's no greater purpose, there's no greater aim than magnifying
Jesus' name. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all your love for all of your days. He alone is worthy of the love you bring. He alone the music in the song you sing. Hallelujah. Let us now rejoice, praising Lord Jesus, lifting up one voice. There's no greater purpose, there's no greater aim than magnifying Jesus' name. There's no greater purpose, there's no greater aim than magnifying Jesus' name.
I'm going to ask Wesley to put his head gear back on, to walk down the aisle and be at the back door to greet you. We have about 3 months to prepare for Wesley's return. It's going to be a time to pray. It's going to be a time to fast. It's going to be time to reach out to all the people that are no longer here. It's going to be a chance to invite your neighbors. We hope to have one night during Wesley's return when we honor the mill churches in our area. We have a night that remembers the faithful witness of those churches that circle this city. We're going to invite them and their pastors and people to be here for testimonies. You can head on out, Mr. Shepherd.
Yes, sir.
So I want you to commit yourself to work with us over the next 3 months, that we, having seen what Wesley brings, to invite the town and invite our friends and invite the lost to come to be a part of the good things that God is doing at Main Street. Wesley will be back. When you walk out and shake his hand, you're committing to come back for the revival. But maybe if God has touched your heart today and you want to recommit your life to Christ, you've never done that, I'll be here to pray with you. So please stand. Folks, the gift of an evangelist is to tell the old, old story in new ways, and you've seen today how the Holy Spirit can use one that has the gift of an evangelist. So as you walk out, thank Wes for flying from Texas. It was hard. His best friend, he had two close friends to die this week. He was at their funerals. He's driven over 1,000 miles in about 3 days. He flew in last night late, and he gave us his heart today. So you give him yours, and prepare for the blessing that's going to be here when he returns. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our service is ended. Thank you.